Welcome back to Don't Go to Book Club. My name is Luke.
The name's Dan.
Today we have a new book. We are a little murder mystery, a little fantasy murder mystery, so that's fun. Today we're reading The Tainted Cup.
Yep.
Tainted Cup by Robert Jackson Bennett.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing it in 2 sodes, so we're halfway through.
Yeah, I mean, with a murder mystery, Luke, you got to.
You got to. We're up to chapter 21 for today.
But first, I do have to apologize, Luke.
I
said we would be doing a live brownie tasting, and we typically record in the evenings, Sunday evenings. I went into my cabinet at about 6 p.m. and I was like, all right, time to make some brownies. And I had nothing to make brownies.
You were just going to loosey-goosey it? That's crazy.
Well, I figured I had most of the ingredients because I did look up a recipe. Actually, I think, was it Torridon? Somebody posted a recipe on the Discord, actually. I was like, oh, I've got most of this stuff. But I just hadn't checked that I had most of that stuff. I don't have the cocoa powder, which is like a key step.
You're missing the cocoa powder. Yeah. And it's winter, Dan. You're not getting hot chalky. Oh, man.
Listen, I fucked up. Okay? I fucked up. And here's how I'm going to make it up to our listeners. Okay?
Okay.
I am going to do it next week. So that's how we'll do our finale for The Tainted Cup, is I'll do the brownie tasting live on air.
Good.
And I've got a warm up for you all.
For today.
This is a warm-up of life hacks. We're going back to life hacks in the year 2025.
Nice. I need some.
And some of these we've talked about on the pod, but I just want to put a compilation in here of things that you didn't know you could do or should probably do in your life to make your life better.
Okay, this is advice from you.
This is directly from me.
You've compiled these life hacks.
I've compiled these life hacks. And Luke, if you have any to add on to this, by the way, you're welcome to jump in at any point. First life hack, you don't have to buy anything if you use the bathroom at a place of business. Okay? There is social pressure for some reason to do it. By who? Who's watching to see if you went in to buy a thing? Only the person running the store. And you're never going to see them again. You're on a road trip, okay? You got to go to the bathroom at a gas station or something, but you don't need gas. It's fine. Do it.
Okay.
You're walking around somewhere in the city and you really got to pee and there's a Starbucks or a Taco Bell or any kind of a restaurant sitting right there, even a local family chain, okay? Go in, use their bathroom. Don't make a huge mess. That's a dick move. But you're not costing them anything to use their bathroom. You're flushing maybe once.
Right.
Actually, hopefully.
Big assumption here is that you're not a menace in the bathroom.
As long as you're not a menace, you're not costing them really anything. Go use their bathroom. Don't feel bad.
Sure.
That's life hack number one.
Okay. Honestly, that one is, I did need permission for that.
Yes.
Because I genuinely am anxious about it.
Don't even sweat it, guys. No one's looking. No one cares.
Okay.
Life hack number two. Okay. Luke, you bought a car recently, right?
I did, yeah.
Did you buy it from a car dealership?
Yes.
Luke, do you have a license plate cover on that car from the dealership?
Yes, and I hate it.
Take that shit off. You can just take it off. Stickers. I see cars all the time with just like free advertising for the place they bought it. Fuck you. I'm not going to do that. If I buy a car from a dealership, I'm like, take off any free advertising you're putting on my vehicle right now. Like I'm buying this from you. You're not giving me a discount to advertise on my car. Fuck off.
Right. Okay. This is a valid point. My biggest problem is that they only gave me 2 screws.
Yeah.
But I need, so that's for the top. But now the license plate kind of flops a little bit. And so whenever I go in a bump, it like rattles.
Oh.
Give me 4 screws so that I can screw it in correctly.
I mean, you might be able to just get that. If you bought it from a dealership, you might be able to be like, hey, you didn't include all the screws to put this license plate on.
Yeah, but I've moved states since I bought this car. So
you know what, Luke? Those are also definitely available on the internet.
I'm sure they're incredibly cheap and easy to get, but I haven't done it yet. And I,
You could.
It's a mild inconvenience that I haven't rectified.
You could probably go to a local Ace Hardware with one of the screws and be like, "Hi, can you give me two more of these?" And yeah, they'll be like, "Yeah, we've got 30 options to choose from."
Ace Hardware, yeah, but Ace Hardware is great because then you'll be like, "Can you find me this screw?" And they'll spend like 30 minutes with you trying to figure it out.
But you know what? If you've got 30 minutes to kill, Luke, it's a great way to spend an afternoon.
It's great. I love chatting with an Ace. Listen, it's the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
That's right. Plus, they're also usually run by local people. It's not like a big megacorp, I don't think. I think they're like local franchises. So like, hang out with them a little bit, okay?
Right. This has been your ad for Ace Hardware.
Yeah. Telling. First off, get rid of the free dealership advertising on your car if you don't want to advertise for the dealership. Okay. If you do love the dealership for whatever fucking reason, keep it on there, I guess. But you don't have to keep it on there. Your license plate can actually stick onto your car without that like frame on it. You can just screw it in. You can actually even order custom frames.
I'm gonna swap it out for a bedazzled one.
Yeah,
probably my move.
Exactly. But like free ads for the car dealership? I don't think so. No, thank you.
No, sir.
Okay. No, sorry. That's life hack number two. That's life hack number two, Luke. Now, I have one more, Luke. I'm curious if I will say as I'm going through this, this free advertising gig is all over the place. So people in my neighborhood get fences put up, and the company that puts up the fence like puts a sign on the outside of the fence that's like, "Hey, this is the company that installed the fence." I'm like, "No." Unless they're getting a discount, which I don't know if they're getting a discount or not, if they put like a sign up that says what company installed the fence. But like, you're not doing probably me not a favor installing this fence. I don't want my house to be an ad for your company.
Right. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Do your own marketing.
It looks bad also.
It looks bad. Yeah. It looks cheap.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have more or is that?
I've got one more.
Okay. Okay.
And this is the biggest one. We may have talked about this before, but again, this is a compilation because I'm apologizing to our listeners. So if you're on a plane, which hopefully they'll still be flying in the next like 2 months or whatever, who knows, in January, but for now they're back in the air. If you're on a plane, there's a couple of things people don't know. Okay. Number one, you can ask for the whole can of soda. Okay.
Yes, so you can. Yeah.
If you want a whole
everybody
can of soda,
everybody does that though.
Just ask for the whole can. The second thing, Luke, you can ask for multiple snacks. They're coming around. They're coming around offering free snacks. I always am like, can I get two of those in one of those? And they are never like, no. They never tell me no. Because they're usually coming around with a savory option and a sweet option. And I'm like, hey, I'm trying to do a little pre-dinner snack because it's like, it's been 7 hours since I had a meal and I'd love to get like almost a meal going on. So hook me up with a full can of ginger ale, two bags of pretzels, and one package of the cookies, please.
I love that you do all of these.
Of course, Luke.
I mean, I agree with you because like they genuinely don't care.
It's literally nothing. It costs them literally nothing. At least the people who are giving them to me.
Right, right. I love it.
Just do it, guys.
Like a lot of life hacks involve just like pushing through a little bit of societal pressure.
But like, where does that even come from, right? Because no one is out here being like, only take one snack from the
well, they have the attendant. Slightest amount of friction that they add because they'll be like, do you want this or this?
Sure.
Which makes you have to be like, I want and not or.
Yeah.
And that's enough friction for most people.
But listen, there's a reason why these are life hacks, Luke.
Right.
Because most people are willing to just take that tiniest little bit of psychic damage. Me, I love
shrug
it.
Off
I
that
thrive
damage.
On it. Pain is weakness leaving the body, Luke. Makes me stronger every time I do it.
Very good. I'm impressed. Some of these are in common, like the bathroom one. So I think these are in line with with what we know about you.
Look, the ultimate life hack, though, is to really just think about if you're ever going to see a person again. And if it's probably not, then, like, don't be a dick to them, but you don't have to worry about what they think about you.
I think the important thing here is, though, that you have to keep it. You, this is not permission to be antisocial.
No, right? Absolutely not. This is permission. This is permission to tell the, like, corporate entities that run a lot of our world that, like, you don't play by their rules, and that's okay.
Yes, the inconvenience. If you were, first of all, don't, like, impose an inconvenience on people.
Of course not.
But if you are, it should be on the nameless corporation, not the, like, service worker or whoever.
Correct.
But the ones that you've given are acceptable under that format.
Thank you.
I agree. Right. Can I give you my one life hack that I
need to hear
have just thought of? So I've lived in small apartments.
Yep.
Well, relatively. You spend a lot of time in the like small living room, right? Mm-hmm. You got like maybe a sofa, a coffee table, maybe an end table. That's where I'm eating dinner and everything.
Okay.
Here we go. Add a little area rug. Always add a little area rug, and it makes it much lovelier.
Luke, I don't know if this is so much a life hack as much as, like, Luke's an adult now. Luke's transitioned from college student to adult person.
Hack is probably the wrong term for it,
yeah.
But it's great.
Luke, I will say, big fan of rugs here, so I agree with you. I'm with you on this.
The problem is you have to get a small, like a correctly sized area rug, because this is hyper specific to me. And this is, so your mileage may vary on this, but as someone who brings their bike into the apartment and everything like that, you have to make sure that you're not running your bike over the rug.
Mm-hmm.
So the rug needs, you got to have a little path.
Yep.
Okay.
A little bike path.
To get a little
through.
Path.
Luke, you say it's hyper specific to you. I have this exact same situation in my house. Like, for the exact reason as well. So I get it.
Yeah. Get yourself a rug that allows a little bike path. That's my life hack.
I will You're say, welcome. In addition to this life hack, Luke, a lot of people throwing rugs on the curb. A lot of people are just getting rid of rugs. Okay. Mm-hmm. You can get those cleaned a lot cheaper to pick up, like, a rug somebody's throwing away and get it cleaned rather than buy a new rug.
Or listen, Facebook Marketplace. I just picked up a rug for, like, you know, $50.
Hell
not
yeah.
bad.
Big deals there. Get a secondhand rug. You don't need a brand new rug, okay?
You don't need, no, they're all the same. Well, they're not all the same. Some are really ugly, but you don't need to go crazy with your rug. Anyway,
Luke, let's talk, speaking of going crazy, let's talk about Tainted Cup.
Okay, great transition. Yeah, okay. Halfway up to chapter 21.
While we're talking about housing, Luke, and rugs.
Sure.
I do want to talk about the setup that this society has taken for their housing.
I do have at least two home decor notes.
Ooh, okay, because so, I have a safety note, and that's that a fire would wreck this place, right?
Yeah, well... Yes.
Here's the deal. Here's how I know a fire would absolutely destroy these towns. Okay? They're trying to get rid of evidence. What do they do? Whop, whop, whop. They burn it.
You mean the guy?
The fern paper walls, they, like, just put in an oven and light them on fire. So it's not like, because I can hear somebody being like, well, maybe they've engineered them to be flame resistant, right? Like, I get that, right. It's paper, but maybe it's special flame resistant paper. No, it's not. They dispose of them by burning. So one little spark, somebody gets a pipe, uses some, like, pipe weed wrong or whatever it's called, mm-hmm. and this whole shit is burning. This whole shit's going up in flames. This whole shit's like Tokyo in World War II, okay? It's all just like paper houses. Meanwhile, the US is like, oh, we could cause some damage here. We could kill a lot of people.
Right.
It's just so right. flammable. This shit is so flammable, Luke.
It is very flammable. I hadn't thought about this, but yeah. And they have flames.
Yeah, right.
Like, They're not like pre-fire.
Right. And they have done some things with the housing. Like they use these lanterns that are glow lanterns with these bugs. So they don't have a lot of like flame up, like flame in the home.
Well, I mean, like the housekeeper or whatever he was talking about how he like burns his tools to clean them.
Well, I don't know if that was an excuse or not, but
I mean, but just to say that as the like fire is not like an uncommon thing around.
Yes, correct.
These buildings.
Correct.
Because like the guy was like, oh, you could probably use soap for that.
Yeah.
But he wasn't like, that's crazy.
He wasn't like, you have a fire around here. Call the cops.
Yeah.
Also, we haven't seen a fire department.
He wasn't
like
a librarian losing their minds about a candle in the library.
No. No. And Luke, I will say too, we have not seen a fire department or anybody even close associated to this kind of an enterprise. And you would think if they were actually worried about fire, they would have a lot of people like this. So the only assumption that I can come to is that once a fire starts, they all are just like, well, fuck.
They're just
like, well,
just rebuild.
Let's just wait 20 minutes and then rebuild it.
I mean, they do replace the walls constantly, so
yeah,
fair point. Okay.
That's anyway.
And I hear people saying it's a very wet area. Sure, however, this is rainy season,
right?
It's not always rainy season.
No.
Okay, can we do a couple of my home decor notes now?
Yes. I have one more, so we'll do home decor to start, and then we'll get into some other stuff.
Okay. So they have a lot of plants going on.
Oh yeah.
Here. Big plant society.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say, like, in our current situation, plants are like a very tasteful thing to have in the home.
Okay.
I feel.
Yeah.
Does it, like, once in this society, is it like plants in the home? Is it just like, is it no longer good home decor? Are they like appliances at this point?
Do you know what I mean? I don't think so. I think this whole society is not very industrialized, and they've teched, like on the tech tree, they've gone way more into biology than they did into physics.
Right.
So they're like deep down the biology tech tree. And so it's sort of Flintstones, right? Where if you have an appliance, it's just a creature or a plant that's in your home.
Okay. But I mean, like, how, like, are they using plants for aesthetic reasons? Or is it just like so ingrained that they're just like, they don't even notice? Like, it would be weird to do a plant as a
Don't they do them like chandeliers? Didn't they say they grow some upside down as like a chandelier sort of a thing? Are you saying just like having a potted house plant in the corner? Like, look at my succulent. Isn't this succulent?
Yeah, because the chandelier, again, like that, like you're realize right, that chandeliers function. Themselves are a decoration, but
yeah,
but non-functional things.
I feel like it would be hard to do that in this society because what plant do you put in a pot in your house that is cool enough to be, it feels like it'd always be a downgrade from the, like, here are the plants that we use to light our homes. They're cool. And they give off this like blue glow. Here's the plants we use to, like, I don't know, wash our dishes. Like, I feel like just a normal plant, people would be like, what does this one do? You'd be like, it sits there. You'd be like, does it like purify the air or like give you good vibes?
Yeah.
And it's like, no.
I feel like
chilling.
it would almost be like having, like, to think of an example that relates to our world. I feel like it would be like having a broken microwave
as home decor. Correct. Well, and it would confuse people too, because they'd be like, how do I connect to the Bluetooth speaker you have over here? And you're like, no, that's called a succulent.
Right.
Right. Like, I tried to microwave this, but it didn't work. And you're like, no, it doesn't actually do anything. You're like, whoa, okay.
Okay. Now, okay, next note. I don't know what I have about this necessarily. But so they're stuffing all their like pillows and beds and stuff with moss.
Yeah.
I don't know what's wrong with this, but something is, right?
I mean, it's going to retain a lot of moisture, right?
It's going to retain a lot of moisture. I feel like it's going to be it's gonna get moldy.
Do you think this is living moss, by the way? I was assuming it was like dehydrated moss.
I don't know how it could be living.
Yeah.
Could it?
I don't think it. Well, no. Well, no. I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think that they have dehydrated this moss. I will say moss, I don't think is that easy or quick, like fast growing.
Right.
I don't think it's easy to harvest, like to farm. Granted, that's in our world. So again, they've teched way deep into the biology tech tree. So maybe they've unlocked moss harvesting.
Yeah.
It feels like hay or something is a better, quicker option. But maybe there's just big moss fields around.
There could be big moss fields. I mean, this is the one where I like genuinely, I don't know how much of this was just like my instinctual being like, oh, that doesn't sound good versus like if there's actually a reason not to do it. But yeah. Like, I'm passing.
It sounds
on
wet.
The moss pillow.
It sounds wet to me.
It sounds wet. I don't want it to be wet. I don't, like, this is mildew that I'm laying on. I don't like it.
Yeah. I think it's reasonable, Luke. I also think modern, like, I should say modern-ish pillows were like feathers. Feathers designed to, like, shed moisture. Moss designed to absorb moisture.
Right.
So definitely a difference there, guys. Definitely something with the water getting in. Definitely a problem.
For sure. For sure. Okay, what's your...
Okay. So, Luke, they have these like dehumidifier cooling mushrooms, right?
Yeah, the air purifiers and AC units.
Yeah, and the best they could do for this thing is that it can't get just like a little bit too wet.
Right.
Just like
they're finicky.
Just like the slightest bit too wet.
Yeah, if you like leave the door open for like a little bit too long,
it'll die.
Yeah.
This is a thing that's designed to be like a dehumidifier sort of thing.
Yes.
And if your room is too wet, it dies? I get that it's trying to show the opulence here of this right. place. Come up with a better design. I don't know. Have it surrounded by like a desiccant or something. This is why you can't tech all the way into biology without doing a little chemistry. Because if you had desiccant technology, you could be like, all right, we just pass the air through this desiccant and then the mushroom is fine.
Right.
But the other thing about the other thing about this, Luke, that I'm trying to understand, what is this mushroom purifying from the air? What's in the air that it's purifying?
Did I make up that it was pure? Because it's definitely
cooling. Because I have this note too. It's filtering something out of the air.
It is filtering.
Because Din walks in and he's
toxins,
like...
Toxins, Dan. See, you got to get rid of toxins.
This is classic, like, rich person buys a device to do something that just doesn't make sense. Like an ion lamp or something. And it's just like, what is the toxin? What is the thing in the air?
Listen, you've got to detoxify your life and you'll feel way better, actually. Like in general,
Luke, I
no chemicals in your lotion, Dan. None, zero of them.
Not a single chemical in there. Yeah, Luke, this society doesn't have major industry. There's not big smokestacks in every town. I get people in our world with air purifiers because, like, there can be shit in your house air that's not good for you. Okay.
Right.
What? These houses are made of living material. Like the houses are constantly cycling gases in them. And there's no big gas pollutants out there in the town. What are they filtering?
I have okay. Here's my best shot.
Okay. Luke, let's hear it.
There's some allergies.
Oh, okay. You know what?
There's some allergens that some of these indoor plants are throwing out.
Dude, allergens in this world would suck so bad. You'd be like, I'm allergic actually to the vine that they make all of these buildings out of.
That'd be tough. Be real bad.
Yeah, they're taking a lot of antihistamines.
Yeah. That's my one. That's my one thing.
I actually really like this as a solution, and I hadn't thought of it because, fortunately, I don't suffer from a lot of like hay fever allergies. So,
the thing is though that you do need like to do the air purification. You need airflow into the thingies, but they don't have like a thing to direct it, so it can't be efficient, right?
No. I think it's just, Luke, I think this is just cool tech product that rich people get to have. And you go in their house and they're like, do you notice my slight cooling air filtering mushroom over there? Yeah, it dies if you breathe on it. So it's really expensive.
I actually want, I'm curious more about the, if it gets too wet in the air. Mm-hmm. And because like, the humidity inside can't be that much different than the humidity outside.
I would think not.
Building.
Yeah.
Right.
Why does it matter that the door is open for like an hour?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good question, Luke. I don't know. I guess it does. Okay. Maybe when you have them working together, like they like as like a big system can remove a lot of the moisture from the air.
You're thinking of like how our AC units work.
No, but there's a bunch of them in this house, right?
Right.
So maybe there's not like a ton of airflow in and out of the house when the doors are closed. So all of them working together reduce the humidity in the house significantly.
Yeah, no, okay, but what I'm saying is that our AC units remove humidity.
Yeah.
Are we assuming that these things remove
humidity? I was assuming that they remove some of the humidity because I think at one point Din talks about the fact that like all rooms are really humid unless you have one of these fancy mushrooms.
Okay. I mean, I guess when you cool down air, some water, if
you're gonna get
your water is saturated, it's going to get condensation anyway. So I guess, but then like, well, they can't be fucked up by water then.
Yeah.
Because they would just die.
Luke,
they wouldn't survive in any scenario.
That's why they're expensive.
That's why they're expensive.
That's why they're for the rich and famous, you know?
They have a shelf. They have a life of like 2 days, regardless.
Yep.
So, okay.
It's pretty cool.
Get one in every room. Oh, all right. It does make the room a little bit slightly more comfortable, though.
Yeah.
At the cost of having a weird mushroom thing above you. All right. Do you have any more home decor type stuff?
No.
Or should we move on?
We're moving on.
Okay. Well, we've talked a little bit about this, but I do want to make a quick note. Very interesting world here that we've got going on.
Luke, it's kind of reminding me a little bit of the Brando Sando. What is that? We just finished that series. Way of Kings? Kind of Stormlight? It gives me a little bit of Stormlight vibes. Just because there's like, there's not a lot of animals around. There's like big Leviathan creatures. It's very moist all the time. There's a lot of storms that come through. That's about it.
Okay, sure.
The fact that they have to build things out of different materials. I think the Dragon Rage series is like that too, where there's not a lot of
trees. They have like no trees. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's cool.
Yeah, I think it's kind of fun to have a completely different ecology.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think about this like grass stuff though?
The way that they killed the guy?
What was it called? Something glass? Like the stuff, it was the thing that they used to kill the captain. Captain Blaz, I think. But I'm also talking about just the fact that it completely took over one of their districts and they were like, well, I guess we have to leave. I guess we're just not going there.
Yeah.
At first, I was a little bit like I was on the side of team people who live there and were like, you guys suck. You guys should have figured this out.
Mm-hmm.
But Luke, I have lived in a house that somebody planted bamboo at in the past.
Okay.
It's impossible to defeat it.
Right.
I've spent like a whole weekend mowing that stuff back, really working at it. And then like six months later, it's like basically unchanged.
Yeah, my childhood home had kudzu.
Oh, the kudzu.
And my dad has been trying to fight. It's just like a stalemate.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess all that to say, I get it. Okay. I get it.
I also get it. I was in the, if we're calling this like a little conflict between the people and the, I don't know, scientists or something that were supposed to figure it out. Some problems can't be fixed, in, especially in like a quick time frame.
Right.
So
right.
I don't want to. They did stop it.
That's good, right?
They contained it, right?
Yeah, it'd be great if we could do something like that. You know, if we could just stop the flow, the ever march forward of horrific ecological decline. It'd be great if there was a target for like a point we needed to stop. Otherwise, big bad things were going to start happening. But
yeah, that if we had something like that, that would probably turn things around easily.
Yeah, people could all identify that, and we could work towards that goal. But I don't know what that could be.
It's a little so no, it's a tough one. I mean, there's this world has a lot of the like contagions.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a never, it's basically their society is a never ending battle against the Titans and the contagions.
Yeah. Yeah.
That also seem to kind of stem from, at least partially from the Titans.
Yeah.
Well, I do kind of find,
I will say there's a third leg to this, which is a new leg, which people are starting to be worried about. And that's the war from within. But.
Oh, sure.
Anyway.
Yeah. Because it's kind of like they have had to essentially build this empire super focused on combating these two problems. I think
yeah.
Mostly the Titan stuff.
Yeah. But the Leviathans.
Secondarily, yeah. The Leviathans. Yeah. But secondarily, the contagions. And now that they've become like relatively successful, they're doing the meme, the good times create weak men meme.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, they are.
Which I find fun. But, anywho, I did have a thing where we get a note about, because he's new to this area,
mm-hmm.
our main character Dan, I believe, yeah. is what we're calling him,
yep.
has to get their equivalent of vaccines.
Yes.
Which is like a little smoothie that they mix up for him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I want that. Yeah. I want, give me those. I don't want our vaccines. And this made me want to ask, whatever happened to nasal sprays? Did you ever have
this
one of those?
This was literally my thing I was going to suggest to you. It was a nasal spray.
Are we still doing that?
I don't know. I don't know what happened to those. And I'm not qualified to speak on it.
I think I got one as a flu shot one year when I was in like middle school.
Yeah.
It was great. but
I don't know. I don't know if it's harder to like administer that or if it's less effective or anything about nasal sprays, but I agree. I think a nasal spray would be way nicer than getting a shot in the arm.
Now my arm's sore for like 3 days.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still getting one, but
yeah. I mean, for sure.
Yeah.
Or give me a milkshake like this guy gets.
Luke, but here's the thing with the milkshake. There is a high bar here for it could be pourable to drink.
Yes.
Like a shot, no matter what you're getting, for the most part, very similar experience.
Yeah, I know what it's going
to
be.
It's never fun, but it's quick and you don't really have to like, most people don't have to psych themselves up to do it. You just turn away and like let them do it, right?
Yeah. But I do have a mental aversion to it leading up to it.
Sure.
And then when it happens, I'm like, that wasn't so bad.
Yeah.
But I like, despite getting like three of them a year, I'm still like, oh my God, I have to go get one. And it's not bad.
But Luke, can you imagine if every year your friends and family were like, oh, this year it's pretty good. It's strawberry flavored. And you're like, oh, sick. And then the next year they're like, this one's shit. It tastes like chalk and it has the consistency of slime. And you're like, fuck. Fuck, I want the strawberry one. You know what I mean? Like the variance. I do. In it. I think that's a problem. I think it needs to be the same every time.
Okay, so you're choosing a vaccine because of this reason.
I'll take the shot. Yeah.
All right.
I don't want to have to choke it down, Luke, if it tastes bad.
Depends on volume.
That's true. If they could concentrate,
because but it's a lot of volume. I think he's doing like a
gulping
milk after a cereal bowl kind of thing.
Yeah,
and I think there's a lot of it.
Yeah,
if it's a shot, I'm definitely doing that.
Yeah,
over the vaccine. But
do you think this is cow milk? By the way,
did they say milk? I forget.
Literally, they said milk. They didn't say what kind of milk.
Then I'm gonna guess cow. You think it's oat milk?
I'm thinking maybe they've created a plant that has udders on it. Maybe they do have an oat milk.
Yeah, oats. Yeah, they have actually good non-dairy milks.
Yes, because they've created udders on plants.
Okay, I'm here for that.
I think that's a possibility. We haven't seen a cow yet. We've seen horses, but no chickens.
No chickens. Yeah.
This is a very vegan society so far.
Yeah, that's true.
They're using a lot of oyster powder, but aside from that,
my fear is that this plant milk is going to have a lot of lead contamination in it, Dan. That's the problem.
I forgot about the lead and cadmium, probably. A bit of cadmium in there.
Maybe even some arsenic.
Some arsenic. Yeah. Oh.
Gotta be careful.
Gotta be careful, Luke. No. But this society's fine because they've teched zero into chemistry. So they haven't extracted that and concentrated it in meaningful amounts.
Okay, fair point. Fair point.
So I think we're okay.
Okay. Okay, I'm on board.
Luke, I want to talk a little bit about the Leviathans. I want to look big, big picture here.
All right.
Do you think anyone's come to the Emperor before and been like, Emperor, I've got the solution to this problem? He's like out there building walls. And this guy's like, no. Hold on. Let me show you something. And he pulls out a drawing and he's like, look, what if we took a little guy and put him into one of these big robot looking things. We'll call it a robot. And then he fought the Leviathan. We could turn it into like a 3-movie franchise. What do you think?
I knew you were going to do a movie thing. And I was trying to. Honestly, where I thought you were going with this was Tripwires.
I don't know what that is. Oh, Tripwire. That's also a good. That's also a good plan, Luke. I love that. No, give me a giant fighting robot. That's my first go-to. That's my go-to. If I'm like, how do I beat a big monster? Give me a robot.
Gotta get an equally big sized robot. Well, okay, so do you think, so as we've discussed, they've specced into biology.
Yeah.
So do you think that they're currently building, and by building I mean growing.
Oh. A big tree ant?
A big tree ant.
Oh, Luke, they have to be.
Gotta be.
This is their last line of defense. And because the scene is, this creature has breached all three walls and is like headed towards the palace. And the Emperor is like, activate the tree. And then it's just like a giant tree stands up in the middle and they do this sick battle. Oh. Yeah, I can't wait for that. The other thing I was trying to work in here was Attack on Titan, but I've only seen like the first season of that, so I wasn't able to really like solidly get an Attack on Titan reference in here, but basically that too. So just insert Attack on Titan reference here.
Those of you that know Attack on Titan assume that we have made a good reference for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I also do
I'd
what
be,
I...
th- I'd be into that.
So I think other strategy here is important. If they're not going to do a big robot, I mm-hmm. like that they talk about the fact that they bait the Leviathans to get close to the wall to attack them.
Yeah.
I think this needs to be a way bigger strategy here.
Sure. Like, okay.
It's unclear so far what the Leviathans' motives are. Like, it's unclear why they're doing anything that they're doing. But if you can bait them, you don't need a wall that covers the entire sea. You need a wall with periodic gaps in it that you funnel them into like a big pit or something.
Ooh, that's got spikes in it. Okay.
Like a big spike pit.
Yeah. Yeah. Give me a spike pit.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't need a perfect wall. These seem to be sort of animals. These sort of seem to be creatures that you can just funnel. And they don't seem to be sharing intel. Like, they're dying when you blast it.
Right.
Just funnel them into like a big pit.
Right. Okay. Yes.
I mean,
I also feel like they've kind of neglected the funneling concept in general.
Yes.
Because if you look at the map, their walls are curved around. Mm-hmm. Like, whereas, as we know from reading many books
yep.
that involve sieges and such, you have a little killing field, right?
You have to.
Where you have people on each side of the wall and they have to go through and they're getting arrows from three sides.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Give me some walls that like funnel them in and you're attacking from all three.
Clearly these right? people have never played a tower defense game. You want to make a maze. Clearly. Where you can have people shooting at them as they're going through the maze.
Yeah. Come on. This is classic tower defense strategy.
It's classic tower defense, guys. You need to funnel them. Because that's their whole thing, right? They can kill them. They just need to hit them enough with these bombards or bombards right. or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Build a maze. Build a tower defense maze. This gap in the wall is an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
I say.
totally agree.
I hope they take advantage of it.
We'll see. I love that they're in the past. Did you catch the note on the last time they had a hole in the wall was like 60 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
And they plugged it by killing another Titan in the hole in the wall.
Yeah.
And like, honestly, hearing that, it was like, okay, if you guys are so good at killing these things and have it so controlled, it seems like it wouldn't be that, like, it seems like you're kind of in the clear for the most part.
Right. Like, why is this that big a deal? Now,
yeah.
they have mentioned, Luke, that they're getting bigger and stronger over time.
Mm.
Okay.
Okay.
So maybe that's a factor here.
Okay. Could be.
But it does sound like if the last breach was 60 years ago, why are all your houses still made out of paper? Like, you're going to have to leave at any moment. Like, this big administrative town that they go to.
Yeah.
Din comments about the fact that everything's made out of paper, but on stone foundations.
Yeah.
Presumably because they might have to flee when a Leviathan comes through. It's been 60 years. Put up a stone wall. Or two.
Right.
You guys are pretty good at this.
Pretty good.
The only reason one got through was sabotage, okay?
Yeah. Okay. As is tradition, we're going heavy on world over story so far.
Well, especially in this first ep.
Especially in the first ep, yeah. So, actually, I have one more. Well, this is more about our character, but
yeah.
So Den,
yep,
has a enhancement
mm-hmm.
that makes it so that he has like perfect memory. And the big way that he like facilitates this is that he smells things.
He has like a scent trigger. Yeah.
A scent trigger. Yes. My question is, how many, like, Can we overwrite these? Are we doing new sins for everything?
How much
of a small tweak to a scent can you do to get a good memory?
Ooh, this is a good question. So I think the scents help with like the finest of fine details, because from what I understand, he's still remembering like basically everything.
Yes.
It's just when he's doing an active investigation, the scent helps with like quick recall and effective storage. Maybe it's just the recall side of things. So he's just way faster at recalling the memories when.
So you think he doesn't need to use them that often because of that?
I think that is the case, yes. And I think like there probably is, you probably do need pretty significantly different smells, because like the smells he is working with are like very different.
Yeah.
For like lye and then like ash and smoke, and then like he's really using a lot of different scents here.
Right.
And he can't carry around a bunch. Although I guess he could make a scent. He could be like a little perfume artist.
But see, this is what I was thinking, more of like a perfume or cologne artist thingy, where you're just like mixing slightly different things of like strongly scented oils or something.
I see.
And it's like, this is my like 50-50 blend. This is my 30-70 blend.
Okay.
So like you could get a lot of combinations if you can do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you can.
I feel like you should be able to, Luke. And I also feel like this is a great use of this because, you know, you're probably only going to have to do this quick recall for a short period of time after the event happened as you're investigating it. So you don't necessarily need to keep all of these scents for this particular thing for like decades. Like when you run out, you can be like, okay, yeah, we are kind of done with that investigation, so I don't need to make this same concoction again. But I have the recipe written down
in case I
do need to remember it later, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a password book.
Yes. Yes. Luke, I will say that this does open up a possibility for the perfect crime to be committed. And that is one in which all the clues are scent-based. So good luck remembering that. But when you're sniffing lye and it's like, you missed the fresh cut grass out on the front yard, which was the main clue that would have cracked this case wide open.
This is true.
So just all you have to do is make all your clues scent based, and then you can do whatever you want. Perfect crime.
Easy. Okay. What do you think of Anna?
I love the dynamic between Din and... I'm saying Anna because the way that it's spelled makes me feel like it's Anna.
Okay, sure.
I love the dynamic.
Single N. Yeah.
Especially I love the dynamic of people in a society where there's a clear hierarchy. Like there's a very strict, rigid hierarchy. And their dynamic is like, well, technically you are in charge, but we also are just kind of like... people out here having fun, so
right,
we're gonna be cool with each other.
And it's early in the relationship, so you get to see the slight discomfort,
yeah,
but also move towards casualness.
And the like respect that he gets too is nice. Like I think Anna does a very good job of giving him props. Like she doesn't feel like somebody who just always negs their assistants even when they do a good job. She feels like somebody who's like, okay, you actually did a really good job here. Now you didn't do a perfect job, and she kind of ribs him a little bit, but for the most part she's like, you did great.
Yeah,
which I love.
Yeah, I do. I agree. What do you think about level of quirkiness? Is it perhaps too high?
I mean,
I feel like we're over quirked.
You mean how her whole house is made of books, and she makes people sit on books, and she has a blindfold and sometimes goes into a sensory deprivation trunk?
Yeah.
We're pretty quirked. I think it's working for me. The level of quirk is working for me right now.
Okay.
If it turns out she has like a pet snail that lives in a little bowl on her desk that she feeds and is like very protective over, then I'm going to be like, the quirk has gone off the charts. But as it stands.
See, I'm worried about us doing a little bit too much.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I mostly agree with you. I think we're getting to max quirkiness level. Before it gets a little bit too much.
Yeah.
But
yeah. I just can't wait to find out for now. I can't wait to find out that she has like a handlebar mustache tattoo on the inside of her index finger, you know?
Yeah. Just for funsies.
Just for a fun little joke. Fun little icebreaker. Luke, I have a really tiny note here. This is something that's not really related to this book, but it came up in this book. Who decided that half dozen was a good way of saying six? Why do we say half dozen? Why don't we say six? Because at some point there's somebody that uses the word half dozen, and I never thought about it before. I was just like, oh, six. And then I was like, wait a minute. Why are we spending so much more time describing this number of things? Like, how did the egg lobby get that deep into our lexicon?
Right.
That six, one syllable, three letters, got replaced with half dozen. Half dozen is like, it's like the fancy pinky up version of six. You know what I mean?
I mean, I feel like you could say the same thing about dozen.
Yeah, but dozen is kind of cool. I do like dozen. Dozen's okay. Dozen's barely longer than 12. And,
sure,
and you get to use a Z, rare.
Okay. That's the main utility. You get a Z usage out of it.
But half dozen?
Half dozen is excessive. Where do you stand on baker's dozens?
Okay, now hold on. As a concept or as a way of referring to a number of things, love baker's dozens. Wish we had more baker's dozens of things.
Okay.
I think if I'm buying a dozen of anything, throw another one on top.
Yeah, of course. Then why are you outraged about...
Why am I what?
My critique is that you're... Okay, actually, I've never really thought about this, but why do we have so many different words for specific numbers of things?
Okay.
Dozen, half dozen, baker's dozen.
Mole.
Couple. Mole. Okay, but mole, it's like way faster than 6.022 times 10 to the 23rd.
This is what I'm saying about six and half dozen, Luke.
How do you use couple? Do you use couple as specifically two?
Couple's always two. Few is three or four for me.
Okay. Me too, but I've known people that say couple for multiple. As if it's a few.
No, can't do that. Anyway, I know this was a bit of a tangent here, but I need somebody to explain to me why we even use the phrase half dozen instead of just say six. Like, is it that people are selling things in dozens and they just cut it in half and you were like, well, that's half. I don't know. I just saw it in here and I was like, why didn't you just say six? Why did you say half dozen?
My theory is that obviously dozen existed before half dozen, right? But then when Siebel said six, they were like, well, that's actually satisfying because it's like half of a dozen. And so like, I need a word because like, it's kind of like, it feels like a round number, you know?
Oh, to say half a dozen. You're right. It does feel closer to five than six. And five has a nice feel to it. All right. I'm coming around.
This is nonsense.
Anyway, Luke, should Din and Cepheus date?
Who's Cepheus?
Cepheus is the assistant to the like the main lady, the legionnaire lady who's like running shit now.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. And are you saying this because of the time when they have their little smoke break?
Yeah.
And he's like weirdly earnest with him.
There's a little spark there, it feels like.
There's a little spark. Well, okay. I don't know if Din is reciprocating. But I'm, what's his name? Cepheus is very.
He's putting out vibes. He's putting out feelers.
He's definitely putting them out. But Dennis, I'm worried that Dennis is shutting them down. Inadvertently, I will say.
I agree with you, and I just think it could be sweet.
It could be sweet.
And they've just...
The very charismatic guy with the slightly awkward boy.
Mm-hmm. But good, great sword fighter, apparently.
Great sword fighter.
Where did you learn those skills?
About this in a second. Show me those.
I'd love to learn some privately from you, Den.
I think that's coming. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm all in on these two as a couple.
I also... My only concern is, Luke, we're supposed to trust no one right now. My only concern is this is a ploy.
Well, okay, I will say when they were walking around and he was being like very friendly.
Yeah.
I was like, this is too friendly. And now I'm suspicious.
Yeah.
But then we got to the scene and I was like, oh, okay, this actually makes sense because he's hitting on Den.
Yeah.
I'm all in.
I'm also all in.
I went to the suspicious part, but I'm past it now.
I'm not past it, but I do think if he betrays Den, I'm going to be so upset.
Very crushed. Yes, for sure. Heartbroken.
Yeah.
But I'm into it. So the last scene here that, as you referenced, is Den being really good at fighting.
Yes.
I will say this. I like Den being good at fighting. However, I don't like the little explanation that is given for why Den is good at fighting.
I don't think that's the real explanation.
Okay, I agree. But what's presented here is that the reason that Den is very good at fighting is because he just remembers the descriptions of his he remembers his training really well.
Yes. Yes.
And it's as if the reason that Den is fighting is due to his perfect memory. I disagree. I think Den is just a good fighter.
Luke,
naturally.
I think there is something from before Den took his special draught of who Den was that gave him these abilities. Because, Luke, Cepheus really questions Din's fighting ability when he says, oh, I just remember the training. And he's like, you remember the basic training and this is what you can do with it? And Din's like, yeah. I think that there's a reason Cepheus is skeptical, because I think the basic training wouldn't cover this kind of combat. I think that Den has training from before he became one of these.
Wait, sublimes. But do you lose your memories when you do the sublime thing?
I don't think so, but I think it does change your mind. It changes your brain in a way that I don't know if Den is necessarily aware of. Or us. I think that there is some hidden layer to Den that we haven't learned about.
Okay.
That he doesn't even necessarily acknowledge right now. And I think it has to do with the fact that when he transformed, there's like a part of him that's locked off or something. Because we've learned almost nothing about why Den went through this process. Like, why is he late in doing this? Like, what was he doing before he became one of these?
Fair point.
And so I think it's something about that, and I think he's repressed it, either intentionally or unintentionally.
Okay. You think he's like royalty or something?
I think he's the chosen one, yeah.
You think he's a Skywalker?
God, I hope so.
Okay, I'm here for that.
Yeah. I think he's a Leviathan, actually.
Ooh, interesting.
A real Attack on Titan twist for those Attack on Titan heads out there.
You got it in.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
Mm-hmm.
I know nothing. I haven't seen Attack on Titan, so I don't know if that's a legitimate reference or not, but we'll give you points for it.
Thank you. But as long as Cepheus doesn't turn out to be one of the murderers or a part of this plot, I think they should go for it.
For sure. And I know there's going to be at some point Anna is going to say a little quippy thing about them too.
Yeah, she's got to, because she's going to put it together for sure.
Yeah, very much.
She's probably going to be the one to reveal it to Den. Den's going to be like, "Oh, is that what it was?" And she's gonna be like, "You idiot."
Yeah, that's coming.
Gotta be. Well, we're looking forward to that, Luke. Looking forward to seeing that relationship blossom, hopefully. But not a poison blossom. Yes. We don't want those.
Of course not.
No. No, we want a sweet smelling blossom, and we want him to figure out this mystery, Luke, which hopefully by next episode, that was a weird way of saying it, they will, Luke, and we'll know what's going on out here.
Yeah, well said.
But regardless, Luke, we'll be back next week. We'll be bringing hot takes
and being dumb nerds.